As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Maury Rose, the two-time winner, takes the lead from Faulkner. That's the way they finish the first lap.
Puts his hand out of the cockpit and says, there we are, folks.
Joined this morning by Toby Sowery, driving in Indy Lights for Juncos. Toby, you qualified 6th for race 1, 10th, 8th for race 2. Ooh, my bad. We're off to a bad start here. So, okay, that's why I thought that. So, how's the weekend going so far? What do you think of the track and conditions and all that?
To summarize the weekend, it's uncertain. You know, we've had a bit of a lottery with some things, but, you know, the team's done a good job. We felt confident before qualifying. You know, everything we'd done, we'd improved in the right direction. So, we were feeling happy, but certain things aren't playing to what everyone expects. There's a lot of stuff that's unsettled everyone this weekend, inside and outside of this team. So at least we're at a track we can race at. You know, if we're smart, if we're good with tyres, it will hopefully overshadow the problems that we're having, but we'll see later.
So kind of before the air, we were talking about tyres, and so you just mentioned it. So you kind of have a feel for what things are going to be like. Do you see tyres being an issue at all for either race when they come up?
I don't know. We had our predictions for the tyres this weekend and they haven't exactly aligned with what we've actually ended up with, so I think the race is going to be interesting because I think some people are going to have a different strategy. I think some of them are saving new tyres, which I think is quite risky knowing how the practice and qualities have gone, but I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting for you guys and quite painful for some of us.
So piggybacking off that, I think this Joseph Newgarden said yesterday, the drop off by the fourth lap on a new set of tires was almost a second. Are you guys seeing similar drop off in tires throughout a tire stint?
Not quite that much. You know, they've got a much softer, more peaky tire because they have strategies with it, so they can afford to have a tire have a fall off. Whereas we have to do a whole race on one and a set of qualies most of the time on one set, so we don't have that drop off, but definitely lap 3, lap 4 and quali is the best the tyre will be, and then it will start to peak.
So some of the IndyCar drivers were saying they were asked the trickiest corner in an IndyCar. I think the consensus was turn 13. What about an Indy Lights car? What do you think? Is turn 13 pretty difficult with the timing line being right there, or is there a different corner that's much more difficult?
Honestly, I think in the lights car, it reacts to this track very differently. They've got much more compliance with the vehicle overall. So, you know, turn 13's on edge, ballsy corner. I think it's probably my favourite corner on the track. It's always nervous and it's like a real hustler's corner. So I don't think that's the hardest one. I think turn 1's very difficult because the car's always hunting and pulling. So trying to set it up at 170 miles an hour with braking and turning in at a high speed corner is quite difficult. Canada corner, turn 12 is also really difficult over the bumps. You know, you can have a car that's nicely set up but doesn't react to the bumps well, and then it causes a lot of drama. But yeah, I don't think turn 13 is the most difficult for us.
So last year, obviously, there was no Indy Lights, so you were back overseas doing some driver coaching and whatnot. Did that in any way help you for this year, kind of like how to prepare for a weekend because you were behind the scenes? Anything you could gain from, you know, the difficult 2020 bringing into 2021? Because we know it wasn't iRacing.
Yeah, the iRacing stuff didn't really help too much, apart from the fun and keeping sharp. But, you know, the driver coaching was good. It allowed me to stay around a... being at the track helped. You know, it didn't detract from being outside of the racing atmosphere too long. But, it didn't really help me in any way. It allowed me to not fall too far behind.
Well, this is the, like you said about last year with no Indy Lights, this year's IndyCar rookie class is probably the weirdest ever, especially since, you know, there was no such thing as the Indy Lights graduate since there was no Indy Lights season or whatever. So, you know, the hope is that we see a couple guys from Indy Lights move up next year, kind of like the normal routine as it used to be. How are things looking for next year? Is IndyCar something you're shopping around for and asking about with the owners and whatnot, or how are things progressing there?
My goal is IndyCar. I think it was after 19 as well. I felt ready, like mature enough. Ability-wise, you know, I've been doing single-seaters for a long enough time now. I think I'm more mature than some other drivers in the series, but it's definitely the goal. You know, it's not just performance. There's a lot of other aspects that Rob actually covered in the coverage that, you know, you need the connection, the sponsorship, the image, personality, and I think IndyCar is starting to really expand into those areas as well. But yeah, we've got some people on board this year, like managing things behind the scenes, so there's a lot of stuff in the works. And you know, if things don't go too wrong, I want to say, then hopefully we should be there. But you know, we've still got this year to focus on as well.
Yeah, to piggyback off that, not trying to get you in any trouble here, but you talked to the boss at all about, you know, if this boss, see if IndyCar is in their future again, maybe, and because you guys seem like you have a pretty good connection. And
he's been there before, so he knows how the whole world works with that series. I believe it's his intention to go back. When? I don't know. You know, if he went, then fantastic. It allows me to transfer just to a car rather than a team. But, you know, that's if I get the opportunity next year. That's if he goes there next year. But, you know, Ricky's he's a competitor. He's always striving to be the best at everything he does, and it being the best series to do that. So I'm sure at some point you'll see Ricardo back in IndyCar. When? I don't know.
All right, we're going to switch racing disciplines for a second. Your good friend Jake Dennis is in Formula E, won a race a couple rounds ago at this point. Yeah.
Two
races ago. Not a lot of people here watch Formula E. I know you keep up with it because of Jake, and it's actually decent racing. So what can you tell people about why should they follow Jake and a little bit about Formula E? You can have some fun with this one.
Yeah, you shouldn't follow Jake, you should follow me. Jake's a good friend of mine. He's, again, a good personality in the grid. And like you said, the racing of Formula E is good. Despite the cars not being the fastest in the world, there's huge talent in that field. You've got a lot of money from the manufacturers. It's the good thing with that series is it's a lot of it's spec, but a lot of it isn't as well. And I think that's, they've got a good combination of development areas and spec, so it allows.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle or Padel, as it's called in North America. This is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
Teams to benefit on certain tracks and vice versa, but yes, it's, I think in a few years when they get the cars a bit quicker, it's going to be something really competitive. You know, the cars are built solid as well, so they can have rubbing and racing. The wheels aren't outside the car, so you can have side pod action. So it's a good series. There's a lot of money in it. There's a lot of talent. So that sums basically why you'd watch it.
So I got a humble brag for Mike for a second, because I think you kind of are a hero in his eyes. The big reason is the free t-shirt that he got, Rich Energy. Okay. It's also one of his favorite topics to talk about on the podcast, Rich Energy. I gotta ask what that was like, how that sponsorship came about back in the day, and he's got some crazy stories about
everything.
William Story in particular, but how did that happen?
You know, there's so much that's gone on. My story with the whole company and William is very tame. You know, I got introduced to him through one of our good friends who's a sports lawyer, good family friend, good work friend from my mum, and he said, look, there's this guy that's got an energy drink coming up, I'd like to introduce you, perhaps it turns into something, perhaps it doesn't, but you know, it's either way, come meet him. So we did. He jumped on board. It was interesting to say the least, but you know, it didn't really amount to anything, which is a shame. Like, if everything panned out, there was potential with the company, with the people, but for whatever reason, the route didn't exactly pan out as anyone hoped.
It's like the most rational story I've heard about Rich Energy, I think. Well, because most of them come from you.
My Rich Energy stories are very different, but also, I did get that free t-shirt 2 years ago. I can't find it right now. It's my favorite t-shirt.
You have to hate it, right?
Yeah, like, how many people can say they have a Rich Energy t-shirt? Yeah.
Oh, I have hundreds of thousands of them. At the Freedom, they must have dropped 2,000 off. And I had them constantly throughout 2017 onwards. Well, I would have had it. I don't have any more. I think at home, I've actually got a crate of 24 not opened.
Yeah, we can't find them on Amazon.
That's like a collector's item.
Yeah, really. That's like vintage.
That's what I kept on. They were the old logo as well.
Yeah, you could sell that on eBay and like fund like, you know, a couple sets of tires.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe at the end of the year.
It's like Dogecoin, then it builds and then it stock goes up.
Okay, so how do I follow up that question? I really don't know how to follow up a Rich Energy question. Nah, that's easy. Green.
The purpose of the scenario, yeah.
I didn't know where to go with that one. Okay, so you had 2020 coaching. You're mainly at home otherwise, did a lot of gaming, streaming, but what was one show or movie that blew you away that you binge-watched in, you know, a week or whatever?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I watch a lot of stuff and zone out,
yeah.
But the one thing that I can watch pretty much over and over again, like Jake as well, was Peaky Blinders.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't know about it, but the ones that do, they love it as well. It's such a good show. Can't wait for season 6, but that's the go-to series that, you know, I literally just finished it about 3 weeks ago again. Could watch it in a couple months and forget half of it and then remember the rest.
I guess I gotta ask, what year were you born? 96. Actually? Alright, well, I was about to ask you about beer, but I wasn't trying to get you in trouble.
No. Younger drinking age as well, so
that's right. Well, I guess if you get America, I'm not trying to get you in trouble here. I get you, like, deported or something. All right, yeah. So, are you a beer guy?
Yeah.
All right, you had Spotted Cow anytime you come to Road America?
Yeah. Dislike it.
No.
Yeah. Tried it once. Horrible.
No.
I think it's overrated.
I've heard of it all the time. I've tried it. I'd have to try it again because I think it must have been 2 or 3 years ago. It must have been 3 years ago that I had it.
I will say it was better the second time I had it. The first time I had it, I was like, it was okay.
Yeah, I was talking about the beer, right?
Yeah, yeah. But the second time I had it, I'm like, this is amazing. And that's all. It's also better on tap, which, like most beers. But yeah, so.
We'll wrap it up there because I think that's a great place to end it. Thank you, sir. Good luck this weekend.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.